What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One for a Witta Wednesday. It's Gary Witta.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I got my coffee here. I haven't been up long. I just kind of rolled out of bed a little while ago.
So
I don't know. I haven't really checked the internet. I don't know what's going on in the world of video game news. You're going to tell me.
How's that any different than normal?
Sometimes I've had a minute to see what's up. Sometimes I even send you, hey, did you see this? Did you see that? Not today. Straight out of bed into the co-host chair. You tell me what's going on. I'll give you the nuclear hot knee-jerk first reaction hot takes.
Oh, that's what I need. That's what I need right off the bat. Thank you, Gary. How have you been? What have you been playing? What's the haps?
Still kind of, my big bragging right thing I'm so, so proud of is, this won't mean much to you, but to anyone out there who knows the Yakuza games, I finally beat the true final Millennium Tower in Yakuza Like a Dragon. It is the final, ultimate, most difficult challenge. I grinded that fucking game for 100+ hours, and I finally beat it, and I'm very, very pleased about it. I'm still mopping up a few little kind of side quests and things like that, but I have now, accomplished enough in that game to feel like I can move on to the next one. So I actually started recently. I just started Yakuza Zero, yeah. Which is a bit of an adjustment because
it's a little bit different than what you've been doing.
I didn't know the first Yakuza game I ever played was Like a Dragon, which is a turn-based, party-based JRPG. All the others are brawlers, right? And so now I'm playing a brawler, and it's a different world, different
timeline. Do you miss that?
I don't know yet. I'm still figuring that out.
Okay.
I'm still figuring that out.
That was my big thing with, obviously Like a Dragon, was the fact that it wasn't the traditional Yakuza run around crazy beat-em-up things.
I went the other way because I did it all backwards. I'm like, these are turn-based RPG games, right? Sure. But now, they're brawlers. So it flipped the other way for me. But I'm still enjoying it. I'm going to continue dabbling a little bit with Watch Dogs 2.
Thanks to that
frame rate boost you get on Series X now. It looks really, really beautiful. I think that, Yakuza 0 on the Series X, I don't think it is, but it almost feels like it's running at 120 frames or something above 60 because it's so uncannily smooth like butter. It's almost like, wow, what's going on here? I don't know. It just looks incredibly smooth. Next gen, man, I'm telling you, between the loading times and these frame rates, console games are good.
Gary, here's what I need you to do. I need you to look right into your camera, all right? I can't have you looking at the chat. There's breaking news right now. You asked me.
I'm looking at chat.
Don't look at anything. Look at the camera. Gary, Jason Schreier from Bloomberg has tweeted, breaking. Epic Games is buying Fall Guys developer Mediatonic. Olga Karev and I have learned, story hitting shortly. As you take your sip of coffee there, how does that sit with you?
I mean, I talked a big fight about, hey, let's give you some nuclear hot takes. But I mean, my goodness, that is some breaking
number
news.
One on the Roper Report. We haven't even intro the show.
First of all, who is this Schreier guy? Is he a reliable source?
In my experience, he's usually pretty on point if he was going to come out and say this.
That's a big deal, right? So nobody owned them before, right? Devolver published Mediatonic, but Devolver didn't own them.
Correct. Yeah, Mediatonic
was independent. And so now Epic have come in and did they mention a number? Did they say how much they bought them for?
No, Jason's got this hot just on the Twitter. No article behind it, like I said. All we have is a tweet from 4 minutes ago breaking. Epic Games is buying developer Mediatonic, Olga Karev. I hope I'm saying that right. And I have learned, story hitting shortly. So this is going as we speak right now. I'm sure he got the news and wanted to get it out there beforehand. I am getting one here from Roger Pocorny, who has linked me to the Fall Guys game Twitter account. Huge news. Mediatonic are pleased to announce that we've joined the Epic Games family. What does this mean? I'm glad you asked. Here's an FAQ that is currently down. It's a 503. I'm assuming they are getting slammed right now.
So we're not, the questions are being too frequently asked. Quite literally.
There's too many frequently asked questions. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to tackle them all right here because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. If you didn't know, each and every weekday, we come together to give you the nerdy video game news you need to know about. Sometimes it happens live as we record the show, so you have to pivot and do everything differently as it happens. If you like that, of course, go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can be part of the show with your questions, comments, concerns. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get each and every episode ad-free. You can also get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. That's all on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But if you don't have any bucks to toss our way. It's no big deal. You can watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, just like Joshy G is, the Milkman's Kid is, Celtic Queen Megan Sullivan is. Of course, if you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping before we start tackling everything else that's going on in our world. Number one, It Takes Two First Impressions are currently live. You can go over to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and catch me and GameSpot's Lucy James talking about what we played when we got to play It Takes Two. I tell you what, Gary, what's your hype level for It Takes Two?
Really, 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 really high. I love Joseph Farris. I think he's a genius. And he's carved out an amazing niche for himself, hasn't he? Making these games all in different ways, all in very different ways, approach this concept of two-player cooperative play.
Sure,
right?
Sure. So, yeah, 100%.
Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, absolutely one of my favorite games ever made. I loved that game to death. Now, that was a game where you controlled both characters, right? It was two characters.
Sure,
controlled both characters. You went back and forth. One with the left stick, one with the right stick.
Exactly. And that's what we were, I think Lucy or me in the thing brought it up in a similar conversation, but didn't elaborate on it. And the fact of like, not a cooperative game, but a cooperative game where you're not playing with somebody else.
You're cooperating with yourself.
Exactly. Right? And it's a very weird thing if you didn't play Brothers. Yeah.
That's the genius of it. And then he followed that up with a very, very different approach. Totally different tonally, contemporary, gritty, prison break, on the run kind of thriller with a way out. Where they use this very, very, and that actually was for two players. You did need two players to play that game, and it had this very innovative, split screen approach, and the game would kind of modulate in and out of different kind of split screen formats based on what was happening narratively in terms of the gameplay. My wife and I love that game. My wife and I asks me at least once a week, is there another game like A Way Out that we could play together? Because we both loved it. It was just a great, great couch co-op game.
Well, Gary, I'm happy to report It Takes Two is
done it again.
Game.
He's done it again.
But it's not only has he done it again, Joseph and Hazelight have gone to another level. Like, granted, we played an hour of it. We could have played more, but I turned to Lucy at an hour and I was like, can we stop? Because, I'm enjoying this so much. I want to play the full thing. I don't want to just do this preview any further. So inventive, so creative. You can get all of our impressions over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. On top of that, of course, there's a new episode of PS I Love You XOXO live right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe. We go into everything that's happening with PlayStation Plus. And more importantly for me, I give you my review of Maquette, that new PlayStation Plus game that's out today, as a matter of fact. That also is pretty dope, if I do say so myself. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mick, a.k.a. at the Nanobiologist Abramson, Blackjack, and Trent Berry. Today we're brought to you by Honey, Logitech, and DoorDash, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. We have 8 items on the Roper Report.
Baker's Dozen!
I want to. It was 7. 9 minutes ago it was 7. Now we have this going on. And speaking of which, hello, producer/seducer Nick Scarpino. Can you read me?
I can. How are you guys doing?
We're great. How are you?
I am well.
You're here to talk about Aliens, which was going to be my lead story, but we have breaking news. So we're going to keep tackling that. Can you hang out a little bit?
Yeah, I can hang out for a sec.
All right, good.
I can't hang out for too long, though, because we have Andrew Renee guesting on our Twitch stream at 11 o'clock today. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you guys want to tune in for that.
youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays if you miss it later. Back to number one here, of course, that Fall Guys has been bought by Epic Games. Mediatonic has been bought by Epic Games. I'm trying still to refresh the FAQ. It is still 503-ing, but thanks to Roger Pokorny, I have the Epic statement. I'm on epicgames.com right now where it says, Tonic Games Group, makers of Fall Guys, joins Epic Games. We are thrilled to announce that Tonic Games Group is joining the Epic Games family. Tonic Games is the development company behind the hit sensation Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout. For Fall Guys fans, your gameplay isn't changing, and Epic will continue to invest in making the game a great experience for players across platforms. Your favorite colorful beans will still stumble through the chaos on PC, PlayStation, and soon Nintendo Switch and Xbox. Check out this blog post for all your questions. That was the one that I think is 503. It is, and it still is. Quote a Tonic Games Group, which apparently is a rebrand that I think is happening today, or maybe happened and we just missed it. We often say that everyone deserves a game that feels like it was made for them. With Epic, we feel like we have found a home that was made for us. They share our mission to build and support games that have a positive impact, empower others, and stand the test of time, and we couldn't be more excited to be joining forces with their team. This is Dave Bailey, from the co-founder and CEO of Tonic Games Group. The quotes go on like this. Tim Sweeney from Epic says, "It's no secret that Epic is invested in building the metaverse, and Tonic Games shares this goal. As Epic works to build this virtual future, we need great creative talent who know how to build powerful games, content, and experiences." Gary, we wanted the hot takes. You gave it to me. You're getting a little bit of it. You're getting a drip feed of information here. Where are you at? What's your hot knee-jerk reaction?
Well,
to this?
First of all, I'm telling you, the Winter Tuesday hot streak continues, right?
It's fuck you, like Blessing. Blessing. Blessing sucks. Isn't that right, Nick?
It's funny how I always say, hey, we had a great time. You're the one who always turns it into fuck you, Blessing. I don't know.
Somebody's got to take this kid down a peg. He's out there voting on BAFTAs.
You two need to work your shit out. Whatever's going on behind the scenes, you and Blessing, like, get it sorted. Yeah, it's almost like the gaming gods went, oh, what? There's not enough gaming news today for Gary's, you know, big bit at Winter Wednesday on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Let's dump another, you know, megaton at the top of the show. So, I mean, so I'm just processing this now. I don't know yet. I feel like were this EA buys Mediatonic or Activision buys Mediatonic, I'd be here saying, well, so long, Mediatonic, you had a good run.
Yeah.
But with Epic, I don't know. It's hard to say. They're not really in the business of buying it. They're not like THQ Nordic, right? Going around hoovering up developers. It's kind of a rare move for them, buying whole other games company. They obviously see value in the company. They obviously see value in Fall Guys. It's not difficult to see value in Fall Guys. Terrific game. My personal game of the year for 2020. Loved it to bits. Super excited about the futuristic space age season 4 update. I think Fall Guys is going to continue to just get bigger and bigger and bigger,
dude,
and expand onto new platforms.
My knee-jerk reaction on this, Gary, is that Fall Guys is about to go nuclear. And I mean, like, they are about to go so big. So,
I mean, look at the way the Epic markets Fortnite and think about
exactly.
them being even a fraction
they
of
are
that.
Going to do that to not in. I mean, can you ever get lightning in a bottle and do it again that way? No, but like
Fall Guys,
which is already so big, is about to get so much bigger because now you have Epic's a war chest of money to throw it behind to say, yes, what? You want NFL Fall Guys? You want tie-ins to the DC movies? Look at every character skin in Fortnite. That's coming to Fall Guys. That Fall Guys is coming to every platform. I fully expect Fall Guys to go free to play.
The Fall Guys and Fortnite crossover potential is awesome. I mean, I personally don't care because I don't care about Fortnite. But that obviously, for people that are interested in both, that has a lot of creative.
Sure.
And commercial potential as well, because that's what Epic's interested in. For all the people out there, for all the fucking chumps and the trolls who respond to every tweet about Fall Guys with dead game, that like they fucking were the first person to say that. They think it's hilarious and original to just say dead game. No. A live game. Very much a live game.
Oh, yeah.
Coming to Twitch, coming to Xbox, new seasons, new ownership with squillions of dollars to spend on bringing it to a wider audience. I think it's good. If we're EA or Activision, I'd genuinely be very, very concerned.
It depends who you talk to on what Epic is. I stand by that. I think Epic is good. I think they are using their power, influence, and money for good things most of the time. Fortnite thing is like, I agree that Apple sucks on what they've been doing, but like the jackets and the thing and the hashtag.
Yeah, that whole thing was irritating. An Epic does things that irritate me often, but at the end of the day, they are a proper games company, going all the way back to, you know, the old PC, you know, share when they were Epic. Do you remember, Greg? You're old enough to remember when they were Epic Mega Games, not just Epic Games.
I do remember that,
right?
Vaguely. Back in the day,
back in the days of like shareware discs going around for the PC, Epic Mega Games. I remember it well. They were a proper games company with a proper lineage. I believe my prediction is that they will be good stewards of the Fall Guys franchise, and obviously a big shot in the arm for whatever Mediatonic wants to do next. I think they were making a lot of
game group or whatever the hell they're called.
Well, I mean,
Tonic Games Group,
or maybe something entirely different. Who knows? I mean, maybe more Fall Guys type stuff, but maybe something else. This secures the future of Fall Guys and Mediatonic for a long time. I'm sure the founders of Mediatonic have woke up today much richer. Good for them.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Good for them.
100%.
I guess so. Whether or not Fall Guys would go free to play, like microtransactions based, I don't know. That kind of makes me a little bit squeamish.
But what if the microtransactions are just what they already are, which is, you know, do you want to buy a suit? Do you want to buy a new bean costume or whatever?
I know, but what you don't want it to do is like lean more and more into that. Well, everything becomes a micro. I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to manage that if they decide to start tweaking the balance of that. That'll be interesting to see. You know, obviously they could bring a lot of, Epic has a lot of institutional knowledge about how players react and interact with, you know, microtransactions, what's popular, what's not. They could bring that. You know, there's a lot of skill sets and a lot of knowledge kind of Voltroning together here.
Yeah.
An immediate question is this the end of Fall Guys on the Steam store? Is it now going to become an Epic store exclusive? Probably.
Yeah, I would think so.
I want to say probably.
Yeah.
Overall, I think this is a net positive.
Yeah, let me give you some more information here, all right? I still have a borked thing, but Wario64 has screenshots up, right? So again, this is all happening live. Bear with me as I parse through information as we go. But how will this affect the game is one of the questions here. Your gameplay isn't changing, and neither is our mission to bring Fall Guys to as many players as possible. Each season, we'll continue to expand the game with new content, features, rounds, and costumes. Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout will remain purchasable on Steam and PlayStation. If you own the game on these platforms, you will still be able to play it from there and receive future updates. We are also still planning to bring Fall Guys to Nintendo Switch and Xbox. Fortnite and Rocket League already have tons of features we'd love to bring to Fall Guys. Account systems, crossplay, squad versus squad modes, etc. We're going to work hard on bringing these features to Fall Guys too.
Well, I like that they said crossplay. That's right? A big one, because Epic know how to do that.
The next question, and this is the Mediatonic or Tonic Group talking, right? Then they go free to play? Nothing to announce right now. How will this affect the community? We absolutely love our community and wouldn't want this situation without your continued support. We'll stay super close with you, continue to chat with you in the same open and honest way, and continue to take suggestions and feedback. Why did you choose Epic? We've been mutual fans for a while now as we've gotten to know the Epic team better. It turns out we have a lot in common and share the same goals. They really love Fall Guys and our team at Mediatonic. We'll continue to be the same team working on the same game, but now we'll have the full power of Epic Games to help us take the game to new, parentheses, dizzying heights. Will you still make the same kind of games in the future? We're proud of Mediatonic's creative culture, and this is something that Epic really values too. We're focused on creating games that empower our players, create joy, and bring people together to have fun, and we couldn't be more excited about the opportunities ahead. About to roll in money. Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say to you, Greg, I'm impressed that they got through the whole answer to that question about why did you choose Epic, using words like creative culture and empowerment, and somehow managed to avoid using the word bajillion even once. Because you know that's the reason. You know that's at least part of it. They heard that cash truck backing up to the Mediatonic offices, and they were like, man, this is an offer we cannot refuse.
Man, I think you're about to see some really, really big things for Fall Guys.
The more I think about it, like, unless you're one of those people that thinks Epic is evil because like you love Steam or whatever, like you like one major corporation better than another. If that's the case, good luck to you. In terms of just, is this a good thing for Fall Guys? I think ultimately, yeah, again, were it EA or Activision or any of these other companies that have proven to be terrible, terrible stewards of smaller companies that they've acquired over the years. Remember PopCap, those poor bastards. Like, we've seen this happen so many times.
Oh, you like making Plants vs. Zombies? You're never making it the same way again. Don't worry, get out of here.
But this, I think, like I said, Epic is a proper games company. And I think again, in terms of the marketing, the Fortnite crossovers, the institutional knowledge about free to play microtransactions.
You make it free to play,
like, take the game to the next level. Epic are the right people to be in business.
You make it free to play, and you have the crossover event in Fortnite, and you get all these Fortnite players to bounce over there and get it, and then you have it's going to be insane. I thought Fall Guys was already huge, and we were wondering what its tail would look like, but this is going to solve so many people's, not problems, but like for me personally, even like when they did the medieval thing, and then they talk about the future thing, I'm like, that's all fine, but like, I don't care about the beans just looking like they're in the past, the future. You put a Superman bean in there, you do a whole season of comic book stuff with Marvel, you do a whole bunch of stuff like that, I'll be all over.
Yeah, and I do think you're going to see it pulled from the Steam store and on Epic. You know, a lot of what Epic wants to do is get people to the Epic store because they want to be in that Valve Steam business.
Yeah,
Valve is a company that barely makes games anymore, but they make more money than any games company.
Real quick, before we transition into the aliens fire team hour with Johnny Ace over here, Nanobiologist has one quick you're wrong here where I was like, I don't know what Tonic Games Group is. He says Tonic Games Group was founded last year as an umbrella company. Quote, Tonic Games Group will manage multiple game studios and publishing operations. There was a VentureBeat article I do not recall. So thank you, Nano. For now, though, let's talk about a brand new game. Number 2, Aliens Fire Team has been announced and shown a bit. I'm going to read from the press release before we kick it to our Ace reporter, Nick Scarpino. Cold Iron Studios, the San Jose-based game studio comprised of veteran action and shooter developers in collaboration with 20th Century Games, today revealed Aliens Fireteam, a new cooperative third-person survival shooter set within the Alien universe. Aliens Fireteam is scheduled for a worldwide release in summer 2021 on Xbox Series X/S, Xbox One, PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and Steam. They got the usual quote here. With Aliens Fireteam, you and your friends will experience stepping into the boots of a squad of hardened colonial marines fighting in the ultimate battle for survival. This is the action game Aliens fans have been waiting for. Hordes of different xenomorphs swarming over ceilings and across walls, surrounding your team and striking from every angle. Work together, customize your character, utilize tons of weapons and gear, and, well, you just might get your fire team out alive. Set 23 years after the original Alien trilogy, Aliens Fireteam drops players into the role of a colonial marine aboard the USS Endeavor, recently tasked with answering a distress call from the outer colonies. Deploy to overrun facilities, abandoned ruins, and strange alien landscapes as you battle terrifying enemies across 4 campaigns with 2 friends or AI teammates. Stunning visuals, realistic environments, powerful weapons, futuristic equipment, and an eerie soundscape heighten new alien storylines across a series of replayable missions that evoke and expand upon the blockbuster films. Facing over 20 different intelligent enemy types, from xenomorphs to Weyland Yutani synthetics, players must utilize cover tactics and master team strategy to eradicate extraterrestrial threats that swarm through doors and vents, scramble across walls and ceilings, and strike from darkness with uncanny ferocity. 5 character classes, an expansive arsenal of customizable weapons and mods, character progression, and innovative advancement systems help even the odds in this heart-pounding shooter and place Alien Fireteam and another dimension of co-op survival shooters. Plus, there's the new challenge card system that'll let players mutate each mission, offering a new experience with every playthrough. Nick Scarpino.
Yes.
Hello. Welcome to the show. I'm sorry to keep you waiting.
Oh, not at all. It was a good talk about that's cool to hear you guys, your guys' opinions on Fall Guys.
Yeah. You're excited for it?
I can't tell if Nick's taking the piss or not.
No,
it's cool. I never listened to it. No, you guys are, I mean, it's a nice reminder that you guys actually know what you're talking about. You know, I give Greg a lot of shit, Gary, for not knowing anything, but you guys
rightly so.
are pretty good at what you're doing.
All right, I don't need two of you on the show, all right? Nick, you got to do a hands-off demo, right? You got to sit in on a Discord.
We got a nice little presentation, which they give us all the facts that you just told the audience right there. And then we got to watch them play through one of the levels of the games. And it's really fun. It's exactly kind of what you'd think. Very much, I want to say Left 4 Dead-ish, where you're just fighting hordes of instead of zombies, aliens. But, you know, obviously they rooted it in sort of the Cameron mythology or the Cameron aliens. So it's not like you're not dealing with like one alien. You're dealing with hordes of aliens. You are, of course, Colonial Marines. There's going to be 3 of you. We're going to have a blast playing this probably on one of
our Twitch. Is that motion tracker just going bananas all the time? Because it's like, it says like aliens everywhere.
There is aliens everywhere, but you get other cool items. Like we saw one of the guys that had a portable gun turret, so we could throw that bad boy down. And it starts wailing on aliens. And then you've got different upgrades and stuff like that. So every time you play through the campaigns, you can get upgrades and play through them again. So it kind of keeps the replayability coming back.
The card thing sounds a lot like Back 4 Blood. Gary, did you do Back 4 Blood, the beta, when that came through?
Yeah, I did the beta, and I actually wanted to ask, and that feels like, you know, if you're asking yourself, like, okay, we've got the Aliens license, what game types, what game genres can we bring that would be a good fit? This kind of Left 4 Dead, Back 4 Blood, you know, co-op team survival shooter feels like a good match, right? Because, you know, we all remember those scenes from Aliens when they're, you know, finding their way out of the catacombs and stuff, the alien, you know, caverns. But what I wanted to ask Nick was this, you know, what we all love from the movies, of course, was it had both flavors, right? It had the like going through the tunnels and like there's one blip on the motion track and it's oh shit, something's coming, but then it like is in chaos. Is this just Left 4 Dead chaos all the time, or do you also have that like tension of waiting for something to happen?
From what I understand, I mean, that we only saw one level of it, so I can't really comment on it too much. But what we saw is chaos. It's chaos all the time. Right. And not okay. only chaos, but you're dealing with not just, you know, the soldier aliens. You're dealing with, like, bigger baddies. You know, they've got all the classes that you would
expect
to see.
They're going to have their version of the bloater and the witch exactly. and all that yeah, stuff. Yeah. But yeah.
All that stuff. So I think it's mostly designed to give you those quick moments of respite, and then you're back into the madness.
So my question for you, Nick, you know, is we're gonna have a blast with it on stream. Do you think we have a blast with it on one stream and then we bounce and we don't come back, or is there enough to actually keep us invested and keep us coming back?
It's gonna really depend on when you get your hands on the controller, but I think we're gonna play it for a few days. I think this might be. I mean, I personally love Aliens, and I sure. love specifically, like, when I was a kid, I used to make the pulse rifles out of PVC pipe and piss my dad off because apparently yeah. PVC pipe costs a lot of money. And I use all of his duct tape as well. Sorry, Lou. But, you know, to me, it's going to be fun jumping back in that world. And who doesn't, you know, it's the perfect, who doesn't want to be trapped in an enclosed space with a bunch of aliens and fight your way out? It's just yeah, fun. Well, but I think we do it for a few streams, actually. I would be interested in jumping into this a little bit at night, too, even for the Nick at Night streams.
Oh, nice.
How many players is it again?
Three.
That's an interesting number, isn't it? Three. Why
yeah,
three?
Yeah. It's funny because I went through the notes as Greg was reading that. I was like, oh, that doesn't sound right. And then, yeah, no, it's three players, not four. So I don't know why they chose to do that.
Few, you know, not everybody's Mr. Popularity, Gary. What are they can't call up?
Yeah,
T-Pain.
Not everyone has three friends. Yeah, exactly. I certainly don't. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that.
If you're me, it's me, Fran, and Blessing. Those are my
why?
Friends
I play this game.
I gotta roll.
You don't play the games that I play.
This is in Warzone. Like how much Predator do we play together?
That's true. We play a lot of Predator together.
And that was my next question. Can you compare it, just for me personally, to Predator? Like, it sounds, since they're going more Left 4 Dead, Left 4 Dead always struck me as just, it's pick up and play, pick up whatever weapon and go run for it.
Yeah.
And obviously, Predator, I think, you know, lost some people in trying to be more grounded in we're a real first-person shooter, grind up your weapon, this is how it's going. How does that shake out?
Predator speaks to me a little bit more, though, because you do have the person-on-person sort of conflict, right? You've got that dynamic, which I think, at first, I used to shy away from, so... If you asked Nick pre-Warzone, hey, do you want to play Aliens, Fireteam, or Predator? I'd probably say Fireteam because there's a little less investment in that.
Sure.
And you don't have to lose to one of your friends as he wheeze-laughs and as he kills you as the Predator. But we'll have to get in there and see, because I don't know if this is going to have a huge amount of replayability for me.
Nick, did they say anything about crossplay?
Ooh, that's a good question. Let me look.
My favorite subject these days, you know, is no excuse anymore.
Gary, like I've said before, and I'll say it again, you were tip of the sword on this, and we are to the point now where if you don't have crossplay, come on.
There's no longer any excuse.
Yeah,
I think it sounds fun. The Alien franchise is a weird one, you know, both cinematically and in terms of games. You know, for every good movie, there's been a bad movie. For every Colonial Marines, there's an Isolation and vice versa. So it's hard to know which category this will fall into. I'm just going with my gut without having seen any footage. I'll come back to that original point that this feels like a good marriage of that particular license and this style of gameplay. You know what I mean? It feels like a good fit.
I'm looking through. We have a fact sheet that came in. But it's also very limited right now. Yeah, it's very limited right now. Everything is rating pending. Summer's 2021. Pricing will be announced at a later date. But you don't have to wait too long. Ryan McCaffrey over at IGN.com says, we'll be covering Aliens Fireteam all month long as part of our IGN First editorial program. Check back on Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific for the world-exclusive gameplay reveal of Fireteam, when we'll have a 20-minute full mission playthrough to kick off our month of coverage. So I would imagine, Rai, we'll have some information on you there.
I'm sorry, who's the developer again? Maybe I missed that at the top.
The developer is Cold Iron Studios.
Yeah.
Do we know San Jose, anything?
From name alone, no. It sounds like this might be their first thing, but I'll give a quick Google if somebody or anybody else.
They're devs that came from other studios, and I forget what other games they have.
I was going to say
on.
When you're introduced as the San Jose-based game studio comprised of veteran action and shooter game developers, then no, that's probably your first.
We don't really have a developer pedigree to go on, but I don't know. Nick, you're the one who saw the game.
I mean, it looks good.
What do you think?
It looks good. Yeah, it looks good. I think it's going to be fun for people. Yeah. I mean, I think right off the bat, you're going to get a lot of interest because it's aliens. And I think there's a drought of good alien stuff lately. Yeah. But so I think a lot of people are going to jump in initially. As to whether or not it has legs, I mean, I'm the wrong person to ask on that one.
It's exciting because
it's Fall Guys and be like, this is stupid.
I actually really hope that this is part of a wave of these games coming, but like Back for Blood, Alien Fire Team, you know, I personally love these kind of co-op horde mode kind of things.
Sure.
I think Valve needs to pony up and just say, fuck it, here's Left 4 Dead 3.
Well, here's my concern.
I would love it.
My concern is, are we back to a Rock Band 4 Guitar Hero Live situation where we, oh man, like there's this little flame, we wanted it, and then it's doused, it's just, there's too many things that happen at once. Like, Back 4 Blood is June. This is saying summer. Like, is it going to be like, do you want to play Back 4 Blood or do you want to play Aliens, or is one doing something really well? Well, even the fact they're talking about the cards here, I think is very interesting because, you know, unique challenge card system also lets players mutate each mission, offering
experience. That's what Back 4 Blood has.
Back 4 Blood, we were enjoying that a hell of a lot when we did it. So it's like, huh, all right, we're going to have to see what this actually shakes out to be when we get it. But I am excited for it. It sounds cool. It sounds like something I'll be into.
For how long, who knows? Yeah.
Will you play with me?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Well, but the thing is, though, you're going to be playing on PlayStation. Unless it's cross-play, that freezes Snowbike out of the picture. What are we going to fucking do?
Well, no, Snowbike bends the knee. He does what I want. You know what I mean? He does what I want.
Bend the knee, you
He bends the knee. Every time.
That's actually how he
explains
bends
it.
Bends
the knee.
Well,
actually, watch this. I'm a good coworker who will go out of his way.
Hey, Snowbike Mike, it's Greg Miller. You're on Kind of Funny Games Daily. How are you?
Hey, this is Snowbike Mike. What up, Gary? What up, Greg?
We just wanted to make sure you're down to play Aliens Fire Team on PlayStation instead of Xbox.
I will bend the knee. Sorry, Gary. I'm going to bend the knee.
I will say this. I'll play with you on PlayStation 5 if my fucking DualSense hasn't given up the ghost by then.
Oh, here we go. You know?
Because I don't want to play Aliens fucking drifting all over the fucking place.
I want to play with
a proper controller.
No, he's...
You see this thing, 417 hours before it's going to die?
And you've put in two hours in Sackboy. That's all you've done on your PlayStation 5.
There's going to be a lot of unhappy campers.
Gary, if you want.
Unhappy gamers.
When your controller starts shitting the bed, don't come crying to me.
Gary, if you want, you can play Warzone with me on PS5 with mouse and keyboard inverted.
I can do that because they have crossplay, because that's a proper game.
All right, I'm dismissing. Snowback Mike, I'm sending you back.
Goodbye.
Nick, I'm sending you over with Snowbike Mike. Thank you for
Snowbike
your report.
Mike to come in and tell you to go fuck yourself. He comes in and bends the knee.
He knows where his bread's buttered. All right. Oh wow, you host a podcast with him. I'm signing the fucking checks. All right. We did the same thing we did to Kevin. We made him quit their jobs,
I'm actually glad that you don't pay me more, because the fact that you pay me so little, I would rather have the right to tell you to go fuck yourself. That's worth more to me than the money.
It's a perk for sure. It's a perk for sure, Gary. All right, let's go on to number three now. We are at a full-blown story from Jason Schreier over at Bloomberg. The new Harry Potter game is going to allow trans characters. The next Harry Potter video game will allow players to customize their character's voice, body type, and gender placement for the school dormitories, taking a stride towards inclusivity after several recent controversies stemming from comments by series creator J.K. Rowling that were seen as transphobic. Hogwarts Legacy is scheduled for 2022. I'm sorry, is scheduled for a 2022 release from publisher Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment Incorporated and developer Avalanche Software. When players start up the game, they will be able to create a character that has a masculine or feminine voice, no matter what their body looks like, according to people familiar with the game's development. The people requested anonymity because they weren't authorized to speak to the press. Players will then get to select one of two options, witch or wizard, that will determine the dorm they get placed in at the magical school of Hogwarts and how they are addressed by other characters in the game. Although this level of customization has grown more common in video games and is no longer unusual, it's noteworthy for Hogwarts Legacy. Last summer, Rowling made several comments that were widely viewed as demeaning towards transgender people and denounced by many, including Harry Potter film stars Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson. The comments also rattled some people working on the game, Bloomberg reported. As a result, some members of the Hogwarts Legacy development team have fought to make the game as inclusive as possible, pushing for the character customization and even a transgender character to be added. There was resistance from management at first, the people familiar with the project said, but currently the character customization is included in the game. A Warner Brothers spokesperson declined to comment. Last month, Hogwarts Legacy faced more controversy after gaming journalist Liam Robertson revealed that Tony Leavitt, a senior producer at Salt Lake City-based Avalanche, made dozens of YouTube videos attacking feminism and quote-unquote social justice. He also expressed support for Gamergate, a loose community of gamers who harass journalists and game developers for voicing progressive views. Reset Era, one of the largest video game forums and one of the largest video game forums, enacted, quote, a total ban on threads for promotional media, end quote, around Hogwarts Legacy in the wake of that discovery in Rowling's comments. Leave It didn't respond for a request for comment. Gary, where are you right now in the ongoing fucking disaster that is Hogwarts Legacy?
I mean, I just feel bad for most of the developers at this point. You know, the point was made recently that, you know, this game was in development before J.K. Rowling made these appalling comments. And, you know, the majority, I know that there are some exceptions. Is like one of the senior guys there, I guess, is like a Gamergate type person or whatever.
Yeah, this guy but, we like, just majority, talked about. I think I said Tony. Troy Levin.
The majority of the people working on this game just want to make a good game. And now, you know, they're up against an impossible task. You know, it's you know, just in a broader, I'm not really a Harry Potter fan. It kind of just like all went by me, but like I have friends who are like really, 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 really big Harry Potter fans, and they're heartbroken over what has happened with the whole J.K. Rowling, not just because her opinions are awful, but because it's cast just a terrible stain over this wonderful world that she created. And now Harry Potter fans are really, really conflicted over whether or not they can continue to enjoy and support and be a part of that world, because it goes so against other things that they, you know, other more important real world things that they believe in really strongly. So it's really a tragedy. I think it's a self-created tragedy by J.K. Rowling. You know, not only are her opinions about trans people toxic and dangerous, but she's also basically destroyed to a large extent, and at least severely damaged, this incredible, you know, creative work that she did, and broke the hearts of a lot of fans. So it's really, really sad. I feel bad for the developers who were just trying to make a good game before all this thing blew up. I think they face an impossible task. This kind of news, oh, you do this kind of like non-binary gender character creation and stuff like that. It's like it sounds like they kind of want like a medal for that, but like that's the kind of shit that most games in this day and age should already be and often are doing already. And it kind of feels like they're trying to put out a four-alarm fire with a spray bottle right now. Now, I don't think they can fix this. I don't think that, unless, you know, short of J.K. Rowling coming out and issuing like a very, very sincere mea culpa and like and finding a way to walk back everything that she has said and done to damage trans people and put these toxic opinions out into the world and damage and trash her own creation. Short of that, I don't know how this game's gonna, I don't see a way forward. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different things happening here where I like Jason, you know, starting from, hey, you can create a trans character in this game, which was leaked to him by a developer, which I think goes back to speak to what you're talking about of, and what's so hard with this conversation, right, is that you have all these people working on a game, and then, you know, you have the creator of the franchise over there, J.K. Rowling, say a bunch of abhorrent, horrible shit, and you're like, fuck, and so you start moving, and then to have this stuff come out from this guy's YouTube channel, right, it's a fuck. And so like to have it, to get it to Jason, to pass this information, to be like, listen, there are people on the inside who are trying to make this game and are trying to make it inclusive and are trying to, you know, put something into this game that is clearly at odds with what the creator of the source material of the franchise is, even though they say she's not involved with this game. It's such a fucked up situation on so many fronts. For all these developers whose livelihood depends on making this game, right? And to be working on it quietly in the background for years undercover, you know, this was leaked forever ago, then have J.K. Rowling fucking say horrible shit, like, jeez. And then they have, you know, seem like, then they push the release to 2022, which I do think obviously was because the game needs more time, but I also think in part of, let's try to get this to calm down. Let's see if we can let the hackles come down. Maybe J.K. Rowling won't say anything stupid for another fucking year. Then to have it be this YouTube guy, like, clearly this is going to go. And I think you're talking about, like, put out a fire with a spray bottle. Like, this is just all that you can do from the inside if you're trying to still keep your job and keep your benefits and keep your family's house, right? You try to get this information out of, like, listen, we understand why we're getting drugged through the mud. We understand why Reset Era is banning the conversation about the game. But, like, this is what's happening over here and what we're doing. But I don't think it's enough either. Like, I don't...
No,
like,
here's the thing. They're not going to cancel the game. There's too much money invested. There's too much money to be made. The game is probably still going to sell and be successful and be a moneymaker, because, you know, not everyone is aware of this stuff. Not everyone cares, unfortunately. So a lot of people, their love for Harry Potter and their interest in the game is going to trump their knowledge of, or the ability, the amount that they care about this other shit. A lot of people are just like, fuck that. They just want to play the game and they don't care about, you know, any other issues that might be surrounding it. But it is definitely, but you know, so I think they'll probably still make money. But again,
oh my god, it's gonna make money hand over fist. When, like the arguments in the reset era thing aren't gonna stop, aren't gonna affect
when
the
this
sales.
When this game comes out, it's gonna be the first line that anyone writes about the game in every review, in every article, in every feature. And it's a bummer for developers. You know, like there's a lot of developers out there that love Harry Potter that are making this game that just want people to kind of appreciate the hard work that he did and judge the game on its own merits. That's no longer possible because of this pall that the creator has cast over it with these, you know, toxic opinions that she's put out into the world. And so again, it's a shame. The game's probably still going to sell. It's not going anywhere, but you know, there's a stain on it now. And I don't see how it's an indelible stain. And I just keep saying it. I feel bad for the developers who
I know
this isn't their fault.
I know, you know, obviously this is a touchy subject for so many people of separate the art from the artist, let the game speak for itself. No, I'm going to completely black out on it. No, I'll buy it, but I'll make a donation. No, I'll wait and buy it, blah, blah, blah. There's a really great opinion piece up right now on Games Industry App Biz. It's actually a few days old, but it's from Brendan Sinclair. It's called Harry Potter and the Culture of Cancelization. I'm going to read you three paragraphs from it, but I urge you to go to gamesindustry.biz and read the entire thing. I'm joining way late or in the middle of it. And then, Gary, you're not looking at the document, are you?
No. I don't even know where to find it, Greg.
Well, I gave it to you a long time ago. You just never use it. But I understand you fly by the seat of your pants. I'm just going to keep saying leave it, but it could be Levitt. I'm bad at pronunciations, as you know. But here we go. Rowling and Leavitt aren't being criticized for being conservative, for wanting smaller government or lower taxes or a balanced budget. It's not their foreign policy stance at issue. In Rowling's case, it's her public history of anti-trans viewpoints. In Leavitt's, it's his support of the deeply misogynistic Gamergate harassment campaign, disdain for feminism and social justice, and a YouTube channel full of videos that read almost like a parody of an alt-right content creator, right down to the requisite teardown of The Last Jedi. The Last Jedi video, potentially aside, I'm not about to actually watch that one to find out, thank you very much. These aren't opinions about whether pineapple belongs on pizza, whether a hot dog is a sandwich, or whether the PS5 is better than the Xbox Series X. They're opinions about the fundamental humanity of other people, and they're opinions that have a body count attached. The Human Rights Campaign has been trying to track murders of transgender or gender non-conforming people for years, even though their deaths can easily go unreported or misreported as the authorities, journalists, or even family members may not acknowledge their gender correctly. It has identified nearly 200 such murders since 2014, with 2020 spiking to the highest numbers yet. As I said, this is an opinion piece from Brendan Sinclair at GamesIndustry.biz, Harry Potter and the Culture of Cancelization, wading into the issues here and his argument stemming from the reset era ban of Harry Potter stuff. I urge everyone to go check it out. And on top of that, even though I know I'm preaching to the choir of Kind of Funny Best Friends, remember, nobody is better than somebody else. Let people live their lives. It's the same thing as always. I think of, you know, trans lives are human lives, trans rights matter, but that we can apply that to every minority group out there, that this isn't the way to treat people. This isn't the way to talk to people. This isn't the way to talk about people. Let everybody have their humanity. Let everybody be themselves. Let everybody just be loved and find love in the world. Like, I don't understand how in 2021 now, this is a thing that continues to come up, that we want to be so involved with other people's things, and we want to, the decision somebody else makes about their life affect you in some way. And again, I know that, like, you know, 2020, obviously, with the campaign for presidency and stuff, obviously Kind of Funny was much more outspoken. And one of the things people would ask me for when we talk about it, I was very clear of, like, for me, this is a right and wrong thing. This is a right and wrong thing. Like, treating people like the fucking human beings there are shouldn't be a statement we shouldn't need think pieces on. We shouldn't need it. Nobody should feel empowered to go out there and spread hate. And the only way to stop hate is to stand up to it and speak your truth and to speak how you think people should be treated. And so if that's going to be quote unquote social justice and a huge other things that people are going to try to throw at you, fuck those people. Don't worry about those people and continue to be a good person. Just be a good fucking person to each other and stand up for your friends. And if you are somebody who none of these things affect, and I'm speaking very much about myself, right, from a place of privilege of just being a white 37-year-old dude, straight dude on top of that, cisgender dude on top, like, fucking use that platform to be like, no, this isn't cool. Even if that's all you say, if that's all you do, if that's all you tweet, you still buy the game because you're conflicting to whatever. Like, we're not operating 280 characters here of, like, there needs to be a definitive answer and this is the box and blah, blah. I'm just saying, like, stand up for other people. You just, you know, fucking be the person you'd like somebody to stand up for. Like, if you, the whole, it's the whole golden rule, right? Of treat others the way you want to be treated. And I don't want anybody to treat me this way, so I'm not going to let anybody else treat other people this way.
I really don't have anything to add, because I couldn't have said it better than you just did.
Then let's jump to number four. Why are there so many cutscenes in Outriders? This show goes places and then goes the other way. Wesley Yinpool is asking the same question over at Eurogamer. If you've been playing the Outriders demo since it came out last week, you may have picked up an annoyance: loading cutscenes. The third-person looter shooter from People Can Fly, Bulletstorm, Gears of War Judgment, plays a short cutscene whenever you want to move to a new area. These cutscenes show everything from a character opening a door to climbing a ledge. They include a full fade to black opening before playing the cutscene and another fade to black before you get back into the action. There was one going around online, I think actually from Wesley, that was the character runs up, there's a fade to black, Gary, there's a cutscene of the characters jumping over a little chasm, then a fade to black, and then you're back into the gameplay. And everybody was making fun of it, throwing it around. And when I saw it, I immediately was like, oh, they're hiding a load for the game, right? They're getting you to the next environment. Turns out there's a little bit more to it, and I thought it was interesting because we don't talk about the inside baseball of game development enough. So back to the article, sorry. So what's going on? I caught up with creative director Bartek Kamita and lead designer, but we don't quote them, I think, here. Back to Bartek, who says, it started quite pragmatic because we needed a system that would help us teleport the players and stream some other content to start the load of another area. Initially, Outriders did not have these loading cutscenes. Instead, there was a simple fade in and fade out as all the players were brought together. But some playtesters complained that they were disoriented when they loaded into a new area. They didn't know where they had gone to. And so, the brief cutscenes showing your character physically moving to a new area were born. Back to Bartek. A good example is opening a door. That was only because people in playtest said, oh, where am I? Why was I teleported? So we needed to have those cutscenes. Wesley's article in interview is way longer and goes into a whole bunch of different stuff, but I know this is what was getting kicked around. And I like that even for me, where I was like, oh, they needed to load a new map, I didn't think about the actual nuts and bolts usage of, like, when me and Tim were playing Halo Combat Evolved, and Tim would go somewhere and I would get warped back to him, how disorienting that was. And I hated it and made fun of it there. So that this is then the other side of the spectrum of trying to keep everybody lined up on what's going on. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I haven't seen that footage. I'll have to go look it up. It does sound a bit goofy. Kind of reminds me of that. Can't remember which one it is, in one of the Taken sequels where there's like eight camera cuts for Liam Neeson doing one jump over a chain link fence. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's really,
I think
really
I like
funny.
That already, yeah.
So I don't, you know, it's because I was going to make the comment, wow, like I felt like loading times was like the one thing we had solved in this generation, but it sounds like it isn't a technical issue, but more of a creative, like player orientation issue. So it's one of these things where people like to, you know, everyone likes to see something on the internet and immediately kind of dunk on it. Great, I get it. Yeah. But it sounds like they have their reasons for doing it.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting one. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about somewhere else so you can get interesting ones. It's called patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can go there, of course, to get the show with the post show. You can go there to be part of the show. And, of course, you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, you're not there. So let me tell you about our sponsors. First off is Honey. I haven't even read the copy for this ad, and I don't need to. I use Honey all the time. If you didn't know what Honey is, it's a browser extension that installs in, I think, it's like three clicks, and then it sits right up there. I'm tapping it right now on my Google Chrome. I see it right there, the little H. And what happens is when I check out online, Honey pops down a dancing coin, and it runs all the different promo codes that could be applied to that site to find me the best deal, save me money. And if you log in, guess what happens? It accrues Honey coins the more you use it, and then you can spend the Honey coins on like Amazon gift cards like I do. They do a bunch of other stuff, but I do that, of course. And the best part is, of course, Honey is free. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. They range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. You do it in a few seconds. I already said that. I already talked about how much I love it. Honey has found it's over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. You can get Honey for free right now at joinhoney.com/games. That's joinhoney.com/games. Start saving free money. And then Logitech's our next sponsor. Gaming headsets are important. You want a headset with a good mic, a good sound, and a headset that feels comfortable to wear. That's what's best about the G733 wireless gaming headset from Logitech G. The G733 Lightspeed wireless gaming headset comes with 2.4 gigahertz wireless connectivity, front-facing dual-zone light sync RGB, Blue Voice mic technology, Pro-G audio drivers, and multiple color ways to choose from. It also has a total freedom with up to 20 meters wireless wireless range with Lightspeed Wireless. Keep playing with 29 plus hours of battery life. Play wirelessly on PlayStation 4 with stereo sound. With front-facing dual-zone light sync RGB lighting, you can personalize your headset lighting across your style and comfort. The reversible suspension headband is designed for the ultimate comfort during long play sessions. Each G733 colorway has its own unique headband design. There's also a soft dual-layer memory foam that conforms to your head and contours around the jaw for a better seal, reduce stress points, and delivers long-lasting comfort. It's available in multiple color ways, each with their own vibrant reversible headband and corresponding ear pads. For a limited time, Logitech G is offering our listeners express shipping at logitechg.com. Use the promo code kindoffunnydailyfreeship31. kindoffunnydailyfreeship31 for express shipping today. That's express shipping on all Logitech G products with promo code kindoffunnydailyfreeship31. Hurry now, since after this, the code expires in 3 days. And our final sponsor of the day is DoorDash. You want Chinese, they want pizza, and someone is craving froyo. There's something for everyone on DoorDash. DoorDash connects you with the restaurants you love right now and right to your door. And now you can get the grocery store essentials you need with DoorDash too. Get drinks, snacks, and other household items delivered in under an hour. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want from where you want it, and your items will be left safely outside your door with the contact delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Australia, and now Canada, bienvenue. You can support your neighborhood go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Popeyes, Chipotle, and Cheesecake Factory. Quick time out. Gary Whitta, have you tried that McDonald's spicy chicken sandwich yet?
No. As you know, it's not a fan of the chicken nuggets, the spicy chicken nuggets.
I didn't know this about you. Regular ones. Are they too hot for you?
I see Andy Cortez going on about it all the time, and I want to say something, but then I always remind myself, like, what the fucking, what do you care if someone else likes some spicy? Sure. Just like mind your own business. But no, if there's a spicy chicken sandwich, I need to look that out. Given the choice between regular and spicy, I always pick spicy, except with the chicken nuggets, because I don't like the spicy chicken nuggets. I like the regular ones better. But I think the way, if you want spicy chicken nuggets, you got to go to Wendy's, for me, personally.
Well, with DoorDash, you can send them to get them from everywhere. That's how I use DoorDash to go get, I get my McDonald's delivered with DoorDash. For like a limited time.
You don't have to use Uber Eats anymore, because that used to be McDonald's was exclusive to Uber Eats. Now you don't have to do that. I like that.
Yeah, use DoorDash instead. DoorDash. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code GAMES2021. For our Canadian listeners, use the code GAMESCA. That's 25% off, up to a $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code GAMES2021 in the US and GAMESCA in Canada. Don't forget, that's code GAMES2021 or GAMESCA for 25% off your first order with DoorDash, subject to change, and terms apply. Number four on the Roper Report, BAFTA nominations are up. And wait, is this number five? Did I change them all? It doesn't matter. And guess what? Last of Us cleans up. We're going to read from Matthew Handrahan over at Games Industry App Biz, who reports Naughty Dog's Last of Us Part 2 is up for 13 awards, Taylor Swift's favorite number, at this year's BAFTAs, the largest number for a single game since the event started in 2004. Both Remedy's Control and Kojima Productions' Death Stranding were nominated for 11 each at last year's BAFTA Game Awards, but the PlayStation exclusive has surpassed the achievement by two. Naughty Dog's celebrated sequel is the high point in an impressive night for Sony Interactive Entertainment. Sucker Punch's Ghost of Tsushima received 10 nominations. Insomniac's Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales got 7. Media Molecule's Dreams got 7. And Sumo Digital's Sackboy A Big Adventure got 4. Outside of PlayStation exclusives, the most notable game was Supergiant's Hades, which received 8 nominations. The nominees for the most prestigious award, Best Game, are Animal Crossing New Horizons, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, Half-Life Alyx, Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and The Last of Us Part II. The BAFTA Game Awards will be live-streamed on March 25th. Yay, Gary. Do you have a BAFTA yet? We got a BAFTA for anything yet?
Do I have a BAFTA?
Yeah.
No, I have two.
You're so cool.
Fuck me. God, that is such a fucking answer, Gary. Holy shit.
You fucking asked. You fucking teed it up. I was ready for you to move on to the next story.
I just want to, there you go. Gary's awesome. Did you get them both for Book of Eli? Rogue One?
No, for Walking Dead.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Damn, Gary, nice job out there. I'm proud of you. You do cool things. Number five, say goodbye to PlayStation stores, movies, and TV. This is the PlayStation blog talking. At SIE, we strive to provide the best entertainment experience for PlayStation fans, and that means evolving our offerings as customers' needs change. We've seen tremendous growth from PlayStation fans using subscription-based and ad-based entertainment streaming services on our consoles. With this shift in customers' behavior, we have decided to no longer offer movie and TV purchases and rentals through PlayStation Store as of August 31st, 2021. When this change takes effect, users can still access movie and TV content they've purchased through the PlayStation Store for on-demand playback on their PS4, PS5, and mobile devices. We thank our fans for their continued support, and we look forward to further enhancing the entertainment experience on PlayStation. Good riddance, I say, Gary. I never really used it. Once in a while, I would do it. Remember when they had the Powers TV show they were trying to make happen on the PlayStation Store? Focus on games. Get all this clutter out of there.
Couldn't agree more.
Okay, good. You're doing
a lot of things today, Greg.
I know. We're running late. I know we all got stuff to do, so I'm trying to get you there. These are two short ones, though. Number six, there's been layoffs at Hardsuit Labs. This is Marie Delisandre at GamesIndustry.biz. Hardsuit Labs underwent layoffs following the announcement last week that it was dropped as the developer of Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2. Several employees at the Seattle studio announced on Twitter that they were laid off, with writer and narrative designer Anna C. Webster saying that she was made redundant, quote, alongside the rest of the narrative department and many others. Publisher Paradox Interactive announced last week that Hardsuit Labs was replaced as a developer of Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2. Obviously, our thoughts are with them. Hope they all land on their feet.
Yeah, it's a shame.
And then finally, number seven, surprising absolutely no one, San Diego Comic-Con has been canceled for an in-person event. And that are actually changing what it means for what you'll see online. As you may be aware, due to the concern for public health and safety, San Diego Comic Convention had to cancel both its in-person events in 2020 and recently announced that our spring 2021 show, WonderCon, in Anaheim would also be canceled. For this reason, they had a whole bunch of information before this, but basically, like, hey, guess what? There's a global pandemic. We have made the challenging decision to postpone Comic-Con 2021 as an in-person gathering until our 2022 dates, and once again hold this year's celebration as the free online Comic-Con at home. Unfortunately, the challenges of the past year and the multiple postponements of our two largest events have left us with limited financial resources. So this year, the online experience will be reduced to a three-day event spanning July 23rd through 25, 2021. Gary, no surprise that Comic-Con's not happening, obviously, in person. I was surprised to see them talk about, hey, due to the financial realities of us not making any money, it's going to be shorter this year.
It's not a surprise because, you know, we're not ready yet. I think, you know, at this point, we're looking at, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas for things to start returning to something resembling normality. Yeah. So it's not surprising, but it's still a bummer, you know, especially for people like us that are involved in these fandoms and things like that. You know, the year is often marked by, you know, the big events that you look forward to every year, whether it be, you know, Comic-Con, WonderCon, BlizzCon, TwitchCon, all these different cons, you know. And like when San Diego announces, again, to the surprise of no one, but like when it's made official, you just kind of go, oh yeah, like that's another year, you know, like a whole other year is written off basically until you get to have that experience again. And it's a real shame. I guess the only good news is it really does feel like we're rounding a corner, you know, with the vaccines and the numbers are going down. I do think by the end of the year we'll all be kind of coming out from our little hobbit holes and you know, blinking into the sunlight and trying to restore some sense of normality in 2022. But for anything planned through the summer, I don't know, like what do you think will be the first like big, I don't think there'll be another big con like this year at all. No. I think Comic-Con 2022 will be back, and you know, I think 2022 will be more like normal, but I wouldn't expect to see any big events yet this year. Cause you know, it's, if you really want to beat this thing down and like have a normal 2022, you've got to continue to take it seriously in 2021, even with the vaccines, even with the masks. And now is not the time to get complacent. Just like the fucking finish line is in sight. Just wait it out. We're almost there. We will get our lives back. Just a little bit longer.
It's not that I don't think 22, we are talking about going back to a new normal or whatever. And I really wonder what that does for live events. Cause I have the knee jerk reaction of going to a Comic-Con or going back to PAX or whatever sounds great. But then when you start doing the realities of it, like how long before everybody feels safe of going to a hotel and being in just a giant crowd of people? I think even once you're all vaccinated, there's still opportunities to get sick, and there's going to be people who aren't vaccinated, and there's going to be spikes, and there's going to be issues, and there's going to be things. And I don't know if it'll be banned as much as, like, what will Comic-Con feel safe doing, and what will the CDC's recommendations be, and what will local legislation look like in terms of what a gathering can be and look like. Like, it's not like, I don't think we flip a switch ever and go back. I think it'll be slow and gradual, and that we're going to make a lot of mistakes as we go. And
I mean, man. You know, there's some talk now about how, like, COVID's just going to be around forever, maybe as a seasonal thing. Like, you'll just get your COVID shot every year.
Yeah, like the flu.
Shot now. Yeah, maybe they'll put it all in one shot. I don't know. But, you know, it's going to be really interesting because, you know, it's been mentioned a million times before, but, like, when we talk about going back to normal, it's not going to be the old normal. It'll be some adjusted normal, because nothing's ever going to be the same. And I think, as exciting as it will be to kind of go to a restaurant or go to a movie theater or go to a convention, it's going to feel weird for a while as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we've become so used to this being our reality.
When I do outdoor dining, which is back in legal, you know, in a SF or whatever, and I was in Oakland at one for Square Pie Guys opening, like, that just feels weird. It feels weird to take it off for any, and then the server comes and you pull it back up, like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gary, I'm excited for the new normal, whenever that may be. I'm more excited for the more imminent time of, and I mean imminent is, it'll get here before the new normal. I'm excited to get vaccinated when I can, but that's so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grub shops, where would I go?
What was that you just floated around there?
Oh, it's Mjolnir. I have my little Mjolnir from the Avengers Collector Edition that I play with all the time.
Oh, okay.
Remember the Avengers?
Yeah. The camera does not want to focus on it, does
no,
it?
No, it's because my fat head's in the way. It would take me too long. I don't know how to do it.
Your list of upcoming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts. There
it's
you
working.
Go.
It's working.
Each and every weekday. That's amazing. It's amazing what people will get fucking into buying with the cheap plastic shit they throw into these special editions. What a fucking racket that is.
Now, here's the deal, Gary. Hold on a second, Gary. I'm with you that, yes, collector's editions are traditionally trash. They come with stupid... Yeah, remember the DC Universe Online one where they gave you a Batman statue? It was all plasticky and crappy. If you walked right by me right now and I threw this Mjolnir at your head, you would go down. This is, like... This isn't plastic. This is real. And it's the thing I've talked about. I spin it all the time, right? I spin it like this. And what's going to inevitably happen is it's going to fly off one day and smash the screen, smash the camera, smash my teeth. So everybody stay tuned. And then Roger, tell Roger this is when I said this so he can clip it. So one day when it does happen and I die, which I do want to be posted, then this happens. Okay, sorry. Back to it. Out today. Maquette is on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and PC. You can hear my review on PS I Love You XOXO, but I highly recommend I recommend it. I enjoyed my time with it quite a bit. Of course, PlayStation Plus right now. Kevin, have you played it yet?
I have not. I have not. It's on my to-do list, though. I'm very excited.
Good. Monster Jam Steel Titans is on the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Harvest Moon One World is on PS4 and Switch. Yakuza Like a Dragon is on PlayStation 5. Ground Zero Texas Nuclear Edition is on PlayStation 4 and PC. Neptunia Virtual Stars is on PlayStation 4. Paco Caravan is on, Caravan is on Switch. Red Dead Online's got, what do we got? Lucrative Double Payouts await Red Dead Online's Gunslingers in this week's Fractured series, the hardcore variation of Most Wanted. While collectors are now scoring new bonuses with any treasures they find. Then, starting today, all existing owners of the Dark Pictures anthology Little Hope will gain access to a free Friends Pass, allowing players to experience one full playthrough of the game via multiplayer shared story mode with a friend that does not own the game. Along with this Friends
That's
Pass...
Cool.
Yeah. Along with this Friends Pass, the Curator's Cut is making its way to everyone, allowing players to get a fresh perspective with new and exclusive scenes following their initial playthrough.
That's actually... Sorry, go back to that conversation we had at the top about Joseph Farris and It Takes Two.
Yeah.
And looking for those co-op games. Those Dark Pictures anthology games have actually been recommended to me and my wife as something we might enjoy playing together. So I do need to check those out.
Did you do Until Dawn?
Not all of it, but a little. I did enjoy it. I didn't play the whole thing, but like the co-op aspects of these new ones might make it a bit more compelling for me. Man of Medan is on... Game Pass right now, so I downloaded that, and then the next one, which I hear is better. If we like Man of Medan, maybe we'll get the next one. But yeah, they look like a lot of fun.
The Power Pack DLC is now out for Project Cars 3 as well. New dates for you. The latest chapter of Guild Wars 2, The Ice Brood Saga, Episode 5, Balance, arrives March 9th. Scourgebringer comes to PlayStation 4 and Vita, it lives, April 22nd. Crash Bandicoot On the Run is going to launch worldwide March 25th. And Sping is coming to Apple Arcade this Friday. Deals of the day for you. Sorry, what?
They're still putting games out on the Vita. I thought we already did a thing where it was like, oh, this was the last game on the Vita. The Vita is now officially dead.
You know, people are going to keep pushing for it and do it because the Vita will always live. Vita means life, Gary. I'm surprised you didn't know that. Thought a man with two BAFTAs would understand that. You know what I mean? The word definition. Deals of the day for you. In honor of multiple sclerosis awareness month, independent game developers Chris Bryant and Chris Hernandez are raising money for an MS charity. All revenue of Super Rad Raygun on itch.io for the month of March will be donated to CanDo MS. CanDo MS delivers health and wellness education programs to help families living with MS thrive. So go pick up Super Rad Raygun on itch.io to support that. Meanwhile, that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, we ask you, if you're watching the show, to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to be part of the show with your questions, comments, concerns, and of course, squad up requests. Chris needs help on the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. His PSN is Twitch373. That's Twitch373. And his Xbox Live is Dickie Bird, DickyBird 373. Now, you might say, Greg, what does old Dickie Bird need help in? And I would say, well, I don't have that information here. So I'm opening up the doc to see, did I miscopy this or did he just say he needs help and gave me no information? Because either way, it's stuff's been hurt.
Famous cricket umpire called Dickie.
Now, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Chris gave me information. What's up, Kind of Funny Games Daily crew? Please answer my call and assemble. I'm in need of help from the best friends, and my mates are hopeless. On PS5, I lost my save for Avengers, moving it to the PS5, so I need help leveling again. I've also decided to jump headfirst back into Destiny after 3 years away, so would love to be able to play with all of you, the best friends. Feel free to add me and hope to see the Hero/Guardians soon. So if you want to go be an Avenger, hit up on PSN Twitch 373. If you want to go be Destiny, I assume, Dickie Bird 373. Ladies and gentlemen, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. We already tackled what was wrong as we went. So there you go. Pretty clean show. As usual with Gary Whittem.
As well, I'm telling you, I don't get things wrong, Greg. You should just not bother with that segment when I'm on.
Okay, I'll think about it. From now, when Widow Wednesdays are on Tuesdays, I'll make sure I get rid of your wrongs unless we fuck it up. Ladies and gentlemen, the show is ending for us, but it's not over for you. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Get the post show we're about to do. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, of course, Andrea Renee is joining the clowns, Andy Cortez and Nick Scarpino, to play some Warzone, it looks like. Tomorrow, Wednesday, you'll have Tim and Andy Cortez hosting this show. Thursday, it's me and Paris Lily hosting the show. And Friday, it's Blessing and his roommate, Michael Hyam from GameSpot.com. Remember, if you ever miss one of the live streams with Nick, Andy, Snowbike, Mike, whoever, go to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays, our brand new YouTube channel that's just the archive. A lot of stuff promoted there. What do you want to promote, Gary? You got anything going on?
I will have soon. Can't talk about it yet, though, but maybe as early as next month, I'm going to have something very cool that I'm going to be taking the opportunity to pimp out on your show.
Is it a TV?
Show.
Is it a movie? Is it a comic book? A book?
It's none of
video
those
game?
Things.
Video game?
Yeah. New and original, and I'm excited to be able to talk to you about it soon.
Radio drama. I'll get it out of him one day. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.